Hey, you up all night, tossing, turning, mind racing? You have trouble falling asleep? Welcome. I believe you are in the right place. I hope you're in the right place, because if you're not, you're in the wrong place. But this is Sleep With Me, a podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights and press play. We're going to do the rest. What do you mean we're going to do the rest? What does that mean? Means we're going to create a safe place where you can set aside any racing thoughts, any concerns, fears, resentments, angers, any planning stuff, any money. You know, Christmas, there's a lot of holiday emotional disturbances or vibrational frequencies bouncing around. So I just want you to take a breath. Now remember, all that stuff that's running through your brain, if you listen to the last episode, it's like a bunch of little mini-misers, or whatever the heat-miser minions are. We call them mini-misers here. Let's just gather all those little guys up there. They're cute. They got like a spiky orange hair, orange bowl cuts, little sweater, striped sweaters, and they're a little bit husky, and you know, you can push them, poke them, and they're soft. They're nice guys, but they got like all this crazy-making going, so just gather those guys. Come on, guys. Come on. Come on. And then, be honest, they're not that bright. That's why this podcast works. You say, hey, come on, guys, gather around. Get close. And they got good hearing, so if you have headphones on, they'll be able to hear it. Listen, this guy's, say, come on, guys, gather around. Curl up over there. Curl up. This guy's going to tell us a story, a bedtime story. Believe it? You guys don't, no chattering. Everybody listen. Get comfortable. And believe it or not, I make these, try to make the bedtime story just interesting enough to distract those thoughts, those minimizers, but boring enough that the main part of you, the like mission control part of you, higher brain, whatever the hell you call it, you don't have to pay that much attention. Let the minimizers listen and be distracted. It's not going to be, story's going to meander like a freaking the most boring river ever made. It's semi, you know, it's like somebody went on one of those Sunday drives and you're like, yeah, that was okay. I don't even remember if that was in what state it was. It could have been in Wisconsin or Maryland or South Dakota or Texas. It was just some river. There were some trees, river banks, and it meandered. But it was pleasant, but I don't remember. That's all I could tell you. There was a river with curves. That's this podcast, a river with curves that you really don't have to pay. You'll be like, yeah, the guy told some kind of story, and all the minimizers loved it. And next thing you know, all the mini were asleep. I'm cuddled up with the minimizers. I thought they were my arch enemies. Turns out they're just a bunch of little guys that don't know any better. So I don't know if that made any sense. This podcast doesn't make a whole lot of sense either. And if you're, so just let me stop you right now. If you're not open to some nonsense, you know, you're warned. This podcast is loaded with nonsense. I just put you through about 3 minutes of it. There's going to be a whole lot more. Ideally, you'll be asleep for it. But if you find that an irritant, I can say test out the podcast. It may not work for you. I hope it does. Give it 2 or 3 tries and then just go on your merry way. I hope you find something else. If you don't, email me. You know, I'll try to help you find some other, you know, way to fall asleep. But this is a podcast to distract you and lull you, bore you, meander you to sleep like you're floating down that river in a bed of waterproof warmth and, you know, like a riverbed that's, you know, in a good way. I don't know, tough metaphor to make. I don't even think I can make it right now. So that's it. We're on the web, sleepwithmepodcast.com. You can email me feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com, on Twitter at Dearest Scooter, on Facebook, Sleep With Me Podcast, and you can get a hold of me any way you want. Let me know what you think. Let me know your thoughts, your dreams, or your struggles, or just, you know, draw a picture, whatever. So that's it. I got some thank yous. I believe it or not, it's a little inside baseball here. I'm going to say I got some thank yous. I'm recording this Tuesday night. I record the thank yous tomorrow so I get in more people. And then the podcast comes out Thursday. So I say I'm going to do some thank yous. That's really, I'm throwing it to a future me that's one day older and maybe wiser, maybe less wise. He's going to throw it back to me And then I'm going to come in on the other end of the thank yous. Wrap your brain around that or not. No need to. Because that's serious. That's the most boring form of time travel ever. Is a podcast time travel for just segments. So that's it. And maybe I won't even acknowledge the time travel. Because I'll probably forget tomorrow. And I'll do the thank yous. But thanks. Thanks for listening. I hope I help you fall asleep. Thank you. So, this is me. Well, going back to the old me from the future, but for you, I'm still in the past. But believe it or not, the past me predicted I would be doing this on Wednesday night, and it's actually Thursday morning. Yeah, but time travel, boring time travel, can be extremely boring. So that's thank yous. Chris Posty Posterson, maker of our podcast music. Sir Scott, Lady Jennifer, responsible for our icons. Lord and Lady of the podcast, ruling over us with a deft hand. I have a general idea of what deft means, and with a deadlier deftness, the defenestrator Nick Vancore watching over them as they watch over us. The silver tone of the podcast, Chris W. singing all the while. I presume he would be in the royal court. If I had a castle and my life was different, I would probably have different, I'd have a jazz club at the castle, definitely a few bars, dive bar, clubs, maybe a dance club. I probably wouldn't go to they might not let me in, but, I'd have fun stuff. That would be my old castle. My new castle would be pretty, pretty boring. But that's this podcast too. So that's the thank yous. I want to thank Melissa G over at dailyzen.co.uk. That'll be in the show notes for writing a nice article about sleep tips that I talked about. I just want to she included the podcast in her list of resources for insomnia. So thank you, Melissa. I want to give a shout out to Podcast Pillow Fort, which said hi on Twitter, but I have not listened to the podcast yet, so I don't know. I think it's a podcast about podcasts, so I'm going to check that out. I want to thank Nina for a comment. Nice comments on the website. Nina works the night shift. Big Baby over on Twitter. Abby, Adam, Paula, Catherine H., and a traveler. All on Twitter, and possibly every single one of those persons is because of Andrea G's taking the one listener initiative and taking it to the next level. Longtime listener Jokia McCall, Jokia. I always want to say Jokia. Either one probably is wrong pronunciation, but like a Jokia. I'm joking around for her email. Oh no, yeah. For her email following up, she's been a listener for a while. And one listener issue might be what, just if you guys know, be observant. If you hear one person that says, hey, I can't sleep, tell them about it. Or, put out a general feeler for insomniacs and let them know about the podcast. If it works for you, it might work for them, might not. So you could risk them being like, what is wrong? You listen to that guy? Oh, boy. But, might not. Who knows? As the Lord and Lady have taught me, and you guys have taught me, it's important. It's nice to be important, but it's important to be nice. As the devil once said to the terrible Punch when he was cast down below into the underworld for his horrible crimes against humanity. It's important to be nice. It's too late now for you, Punch, but for the rest of us, maybe. So that's a pleasant thought to carry on with. And if you have a chance to review and rate us on iTunes, that'd be great. I want to thank Chris B. over on for his iTunes review. He says he listens to these every nap and night. He's amazing. And then I loves cats. Wait. Yeah, I loves cats. I loves cats. Cats says, yeah, amazing too. I loves cats. Loves. And so does Tommen and other people. And I loves yous, guys. with you know, with Z's. That if I could shape a Z, that would also be an S, like a heart. I would do that for all of you. All right, thanks. Let's move on. All right, guys. It's Tuesday night, and when you're listening to an episode, another time travel thing, I guess, is that you're listening to an episode tonight that had a character from Christmas specials in it, but it wasn't a holiday episode. And I was like, oh man, I was kind of going for holiday things, Christmas. And then I was thinking about the war on Christmas. Well, there's this whole war on Christmas you hear about. And I don't really know, like, I hear him talk about it on The Daily Show, but I haven't watched The Daily Show in a little while. And I know some of the news stations are like, oh, this is a boom. But it reminds me of a story I once heard, I guess it's not famous yet, but one day this will be a famous Christmas story. Well, no, maybe not, but famous to, well, I guess it can't be famous to me. It's a Christmas, how about this, a Christmas story I heard. I'm going to tell it to you, and you'll be asleep. Well, that won't help this story. I guess it's not important. Actually, maybe all this story wants is for one person to hear the beginning of it, which you're doing. And this is a story that has a famous title, The War That Saved Christmas, is what this one's called. And it takes place more or less present day. Now, I don't know if you might hear the words war. You might be like, oh, no, which kind of is this like a, because war is a terrible, terrible thing. Well, normally, when it's between humans or between, in fiction, war can be bad, like between, interstellar entities or war between gods or war. But this is a war. If it's a war that goes on behind the scenes, I'll tell you that much. And the reason it takes place present day is for a while, like once upon a time, at some point, you know, this is going to press some buttons, but at some point, and I'm not aware, I'm not a historian, I'm not an archivist of the great Christmas stories of the world at all. I just know this story. And obviously, if you listen, I barely know the story of the heat miser and the cold guy, his brother. But before, if we back up, we don't back up to the religion days, Christian, it's all these religion things going on. Christmas is a Christian holiday, but there's also a lot of other cultures and beliefs celebrated this time of year as well. But this is unrelated to spiritual matters. This is, war can be a spiritual matter, but in this case, it's not. So we don't need to talk religion. Obviously, we don't need to talk religion at bedtime. Not a political story. A lot of wars involve politics. This one does not. So that you don't have to worry about. What are the other third rails of bedtime discussions? I'm not sure. But actually, this is a war that you don't even have to choose sides because you may have already chosen a side and you didn't even know it. But what happened was at some point, people started decorating for Christmas in more of a general way. They said, well, I've got all that holy stuff, and I'm so respectful of the holy parts of their tradition. But how about some lights, man, or maybe some light salesmen? But I don't know at what point they started having mass market decorations. But at some point, somebody's like, hey, let's make these. Let's put them in stores. These are big plastic candles with Noel on them. And they'll have one light bulb in the bottom. You'll plug it in, you'll put it out. Or you got this big plastic Santa. We'll paint his face. We'll paint him up. He'll light up. But at some point, probably 1950s to 70s, I'm guessing, was the first great wave because of the advances in plastics. Now, old, long-time listeners are going to know the name Hans Zimmer Gorbelli from older episodes. And he was this industrialist, inventor, mastermind type. And he was one of these guys behind all this plasticization of Christmas stuff, and not in a metaphorical way, an actual physical. He's like, you know, this plastic's great. The snow doesn't bug it. You can, it doesn't break easy. You could probably use it for like 5 or 6 Christmases. The stuff, we're getting down the painting of the plastic. Even at some point, they advance into plastics with colors on them inside the plastics. I don't know when that great advance was made. I think that was Lindy Two Toes was the guy's nickname that came up with putting dye in plastic. I don't know why it took so long for somebody to think of it, but, you know, Lindy Two Toes. I think his name was Bertrand Gillian, maybe. It was from... war story. Stuff gets to the fog of war. You've heard about it. But anyway, that's the first great wave of Christmas decorations. You have your plastic stuff, which Santa's, Rudolph's, snowmen, Noel candles, fake chimneys, other reindeer, assorted reindeer, sleighs, elves. Oh, what else? I think that's about it. Stuff that general broad appeal looks good. The stuff looks good. The Noel candles, you've seen them. And the Santas, you put on your roof. And then, Gore Belly says, what if we get this shit lit up? And they start putting lights in them. And then at the same time, you got the Christmas lights. First, you have the bulb. 1-inch bulbs, I think. And then you get into the smaller bulbs when they get the plastic, the little smaller bulbs. Then you get the blinkers. So that's your, stage one decorations. And that stuff rules probably, again, my history. If we'll say 1950 to 1970 is the start of the PCE, plastic Christmas era. And it goes until probably... Has a boom, no bust. There's a no bust boom until the 90s, at least. So there's no technical bust to the PCE, Plasticine Christmas Era. But what there is a slow decline. Now you should note that when it comes to Christmas decoration discussions, historical discussions, there's also pre-LED, PPL we call it. And, it'd be post-LED. We just call it pre, I don't know. This is my first official, my TED Talk will be in about 14 years about this when this actually becomes relevant, when there's no more Christmas decorations because of the great purge of Christmas, that Burgermeister. But anyway, we won't get to that. But so we're still in pre-LED, we're still in pre-LED territory here, to be clear. But we're not. This isn't the Christmas light. But this is. We're talking about the war that saved Christmas. Get to the point. I can't just get to the point because so plastic. So there's a slow decline during that plastic era, and what happens is the great light boom of the '90s, late '80s, '90s, whereas the plastic decorations slowly decline. Just a love of Christmas lights booms, and which is interesting because it's pre-LED, but where people are like, well, maybe I won't buy too many decorations. I'll just do stuff with these lights. And you might see like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation was a celebration in a metaphorical way of Christmas light era, of the light only, he was, a light-only person. And you have people doing these, coordinated light shows and taking lights to the next level. Now, when you're looking at this in a historical timeline, I will not be doing, but there's a small bump, which I like to call the Williams and Sonoma bump, but that's just me, and that's just a critic of, my critic side. What it really is the, I don't even know if there's an initials for it, but it's like, I call it this white skeleton decorations. Which was like a higher end pitch at a higher end person that's like, well, I'm not into these plastic Noel candle type Santa guys or just lights only. I'm looking for something that makes, that says, hey, I have a Lexus. and I'm better than you. What do you have in that? And for a while there was, and then some brainiac said, well, why don't I do something that is looks like a, we'll sell only white lights. If you want a luxury, white lights, you know. I don't think it was racial at all, I'll be honest with you. I think it was just more like, I'm high end. I prefer a unified, just boring white color. And this guy said, I'm going to take it to the next level. I'm going to sell you a white skeleton with white lights on it that looks like some sort of forest animal. Or, you know, and then, you know, slowly the middle class got into these. But it was more, this was not like a giant spike. This was like a small thing. So those are the skeleton type decorations, which were usually almost always lighted. And those were part during the great light boom. Those like kind of were, you know, made some inroads, and then they just plateaued, and they've continued on, you know, into the present day. But so there you had like the, up until the aughts, maybe even late aughts, that was our Christmas decoration situation. Now somewhere, I'm just an amateur historian. I'm not even a historian, I guess. I'm an amateur purveyor of Christmas rumors and innuendos. But at some point, they came out the LED Christmas light, which, in my humble opinion, and I just went through a bike ride. I just took a bike ride across Alameda. This is history aside, a wonderful, wonderful thing for Christmas is these LED lights. They're brighter. Some people might say they're too bright. That's what old people say. These lights are great. But again, this isn't the LED Christmas light fan cast. That's another podcast I do that there's no listeners to, so I just do it to my dog's the one listener. The LEDs come in, and that just continues a perpetuation of the love of Christmas lights. And it's not like either or. You're like, hey, don't throw your old lights out. I mean, if they're busted, do it. But otherwise, you can mix LEDs in your incandescent lights. You can do whatever you want. So that just is part of the Christmas light boom. You know, some plastic lights, some nostalgic. Maybe some markets get reintroduce the old plastic Christmas decorations, and then everything changed. At some point, somebody was looking. Somebody, probably a parent. Probably maybe a descendant of Hans Zimmer Gorbelli. I can't put a name on it. Definitely somebody at shops at Costco. And that's not a pejorative way, just a fact. Is at a bouncy house party, looking at these sweaty kids banging heads into each other. Maybe he's hungover. Maybe he's standing too close to one of those freaking fans keeping this thing afloat. And he's bored. And, you know, maybe his life's unsatisfying. Maybe he's resentful, whatever. It's not me, okay? I know it sounds like me. Believe me. But I did not have the Inventix. The whole rest of that's true. Maybe. But so this guy's there, and he's like, man, I hate bouncy houses. There's a 100% chance my daughter's going to come out of here with a freaking cracked forehead, missing a tooth, or I'm going to get into it with the parent. She, you know, kicked in the head, his kid, by accident. But he's like, these bouncy houses, they're so enchanting. And he's pushing on them. He's like, this is some thick-ass plastic. And then this guy's got some math going, and he's like, okay, like, how many voltitudes of amperes is this thing pumping out in wind power to keep this thing filled up? How much is this tarp crap that they make these things out of weigh? And he realizes that a much lighter weight material could be supported by a lighter weight fan. And he says, he obviously can't bounce on that crap, but he's like, I can make some freaking Christmas decorations out of this crap. And no one's going to bump any heads. They're just going to look at it. And within like two or three seasons, this guy becomes a bazillionaire. But, well, actually, and then he's doesn't, because of course this idea was easily stolen and copied. I don't know patents, but obviously when it comes to decorations and patent wars, that's for another podcast at another time. But so he gets all, you know, boom, next thing you know, every third house that shops at Costco has got a giant Christmas tree or a giant Santa. And then they start, people are like, well, let's do a Godzilla with a present. Or, you know, let's corporate, you know, let's, what do you call it when you use something? Whatever, let's use some intellectual property from this thing. Let's make a couple. And then people get creative. I've seen snow globes. We put some crap in there. And that's the next great boom. Not within, you know, within our lifetimes, our recent lifetimes, you see the inflatables boom, the GIB, the great inflatables boom, GIB boom. Yeah, I mean, there's a Halloween one, but that's a couple, you know, cycles after the Christmas boom, I think. So that's, so those decorations start going up. And all of a sudden the lights and the plastics are like, and the skeleton types are like, well, who the hell are these inflatable guys? And the inflatable guys are like, you know what, guys, let's, Christmas is for everybody. Inflatables, they're full of air, but it's not hot air. And they know, the thing about the inflatables is they look big, they look tough. And initially, there's like a lot of bad blood between the Christmas lights and the older decorations and these new decorations, right? Because they're like, who the hell? These things are noisy, they're big, whatever. But then they come to realize that these things know, they're just full of air. They said, power goes out, I go and I have no spine, I have no exoskeleton. I'm skeleton, I'm air, I'm just like an air illusion. And, you know, I just get to feel the glory of being fully inflated and alive at this Christmas time. I'm not here to do any battles against any other Christmas decorations. I'm sorry that I'm stealing your thunder, but at least you keep your, you know, and the lights are like, dude, we only turn on when we're plugged in. We can relate to your pain. And it's like a wonderful moment where these new flashy decorations and the old ones and even the plastics are like, hey, man, like, we got a nostalgia thing going. You guys are actually make people appreciate us more. And so in the last like 5-6 years, there's been this bliss. And then even the incandescent lights, initially the LED stealed their thunder, but some people are like, those are so blinding. I just want the incandescents. And so everybody's happy. All the Christmas decorations are happy. And it's like a freaking utopia of Christmas cheer within the decoration community. And these decorations are giving each other awards, like the inflatables are giving out awards, like, you know, best deck. You know, this is going on in your neighborhoods at night, believe it or not. And I know a lot of you guys are probably like me, you're just a bystander. I don't even own a home, so I don't do much Christmas decorating. And I guess I probably would plan on doing it if I had a house, but I wouldn't probably follow through on it. So, but that's like one of the things that Costco really aids this, or big box stores, because they make it a place where you could see these decorations and then buy it impulse, but at a whatever fair price or whatever, and these things will last forever. So we were living for a very short period in this age. Well, we lived in a long age where Christmas decorations just got along, and then we thought, you know, those of us who watch the, you know, portents, who listen to the ground, said, whoa, was this, is there going to be some trouble here with these inflatables? There wasn't. You know, all the worst fears that we had with, you know, mine, the patriotic Christmas decoration journal of heroes, you know, the zine I had for a while, which I was like, oh no, what, you know, what's next? And then I even said, I bought into this piece. I said, what are these, all these decorations are getting along great. No one saw it coming, folks. No one, me first. I admit I was wrong. I admit I didn't know. I did not see the storm gathering. But it's like, and I don't want to point fingers at Costco or BJ's or Sam's or anybody, but somewhere deep in a bunker somewhere or a garage or a giant lab of decoration, someone was like, this isn't good enough. And maybe it was because they loved Christmas so much and they're blinded by their love of Christmas. Or maybe they were pure evil hater of all current Christmas decorations. And, or maybe they were like, maybe they were like fired from the, because I mean, the once middle class, I mean, people like that are listening to this podcast, lower middle class, like myself, middle class, you know, once we, the big middle, I guess they call it, you know, once people like that didn't drive really, well, I guess even luxury cars did that, where they say, hey, you can buy one too. But anyway, once, you know, so those, the white Christmas lights, you know, rich people were like, well, you know, this, those skeleton things, they don't cut it anymore. This guy probably worked for one of those couple of companies. He got laid off, and he said, well, there's something, that plastic skeleton, that's just been eating at me. So he got together, you know, some cabal of masters of decorating. And I'll tell you what, this guy, he could have been, you know, curing diseases or saving the world, or, but this person said to themselves, like, you know, this isn't good enough. These decorations don't cut it. Either I love Christmas, or I want to, you know. And he, this person set to work. The scientist, this mysterious Christmas inventor, and they started. They said, "Let me create a lightweight frame that's not inflated, that's covered in a light material, that's, you know, nicer than these inflatables, because it, you know, it doesn't have to be airtight, because I'm creating a lightweight wireframe. It's not going to be plasticky, and we can make these freaking material out of sparklies. We can make it almost any color. It just doesn't have to be the colors that are airtight, and we can make shapes too, but they're heart shapes, like basically like a skeleton, an exo-internal skeleton type thing." Like, you know, taking the best of what is human and crab and putting it in decorations and saying, we're going to stretch a skin around this, and we're going to, you know, we can put lights in here, we can do whatever we want, and we can, you know, we can shape these wire frames just as good as these inflatables, but at different sizes that aren't as intimidating, and there's no noise. And then we can put motors in these things, and they can open and close like little mailboxes, or the jaws of a T-Rex, or, you know, Santa waving, just like we remember those audio animatronics from the malls in the 1980s. And elves can... And so suddenly, within the last 2 or 3 years, this madman brings to the market these new decorations. And because there's the great Christmas cash infusion from Wall Street, you know, stealing our money, Main Street, putting it to decoration, you know, whatever, R&D, the next thing you know, people are now faced with a choice. They're like, do you want the inflatables, or do you want the, I mean, the terms I use to describe to this era, well, I love these decorations, but I don't love who they are. But so these decorations are everywhere. This is the current era that we're in. And I'll tell you what, these decorations, they look good. They're shiny. They're colorful. They actually seem more alive than the you know, they're more engageable, I guess you'd say. I saw R2-D2 and a Yoda just yesterday, and I looked in their eyes, and I felt something. Now, what I felt was not real. But you know, they manipulated my feelings in a way to make me feel like, wow, because R2-D2, and I love him, and I love Yoda, and I love Christmas, and I love stuff because they had presents, and I love Christmas lights, and Yoda had on a Christmas hat, Santa hat, and I think R2-D2 did too. Next thing I know, these guys would have shot me down like Greedo if they had the chance, because these things, they roll in there. And they poke in once we go to bed. They're throwing their weight around, and they don't even have any weight because they're made, you know, wire frames. But they're very pokey, and they're very ostentatious personality-wise, and they're more affordable a lot of the time, and they're bright, and people love them. They say, "What are these inflatables? I don't know about, like, but that." Somewhat pixelated Woodstock is much preferable to the 10-foot inflatable Woodstock. And, you know, I love it. And so in the last 3 years, as soon as the people go to bed, the Christmas war has begun right behind our very eyes. these decorations have said, no, we've had enough changes. We're not with these wire guys, the WCA wire Christmas era that we're in now. And we don't like that you have the best qualities of all of us, because, you know, and more because you have, you know, glitter, and none of us have had glitter before, combined with lights and combined with shapes and combined with licensing agreements. It's not fair. And the plastic guy said, what chance do we have other than people that are just holding on to something from their childhood? And those people aren't, you know, or people that want to be different. And, you know, we had that with the inflatables. We had a contrast, but now you're just going to, yeah. And then the wire guys would just, you know, poke holes in the plastic or push it down and laugh. And they would go through these neighborhoods popping inflatables, messing with lights even, which lights are like, we've always, you know, there's never been a moment in the, you know, history of commercialized Christmas where we've had to take a stand against anybody, even other lights. You know, when LEDs came in and we accepted that our bulb was going to burn out and some of us would make it and some of us wouldn't, and that these are highly efficient and bright and that there would be still room for us in this new era. But you guys, and then they would just smash the bulbs, and then they would try to smash the LEDs. They'd realize they couldn't do that, so they just cut the cords. They'd say, we got wire insides, man. We can cut. We can smash. We do what we want. And even R2, I can't believe I'm saying this, but even like R2-D2 and Yoda, the multiples of thousands of Yodas and R2-D2s and Stormtroopers. Obviously, Stormtroopers are bad, but and Darth Vader's. But the worst part was they were led by R2-D2. I mean, it was not the real R2-D2, but, you know, parading around these neighborhoods, abusing. And then finally it got to the point where the other decorations are like, okay, well, we just don't, you know, you're going to wipe us out. Like, you're new, you're flashy, we get it, you're lightweight, you're affordable. You can, you know, there's other advantages as far as storage goes. You guys got the whole package. You're not noisy like the inflatables are terrifying to some children. And, you know, or, you know, you get dirty and then it's like, I'm not washing that snowman. It's covered in dirt. Just don't use it. So, but one day, and the another decoration's going to come and you guys are going to, so we need you to find some empathy. And they're like, there's nothing else coming, boys. You know, do you realize that, you know, our lifespan is predicted to be, you know, and then an inflatable would get mad and try to stop and it wouldn't work. And the plastic guys, and that's when like the real fighting started, because the plastic guys, like you'd have like an inflatable snowman wielding a plastic Noel candle trying to beat back a dinosaur, wireframe dinosaur, smiling, wielding a present, trying to crush each other. And then, oh, it's horrible, horrible. You got lights strangling, freaking, you know, snowmen, wire snowmen. And then you have lights, like the big bulb lights, they break off into two groups. The LEDs go with the new guys. And then the classic light, which had, you know, the incandescent big bulb, which, you know, had solidly had its place and said, you know, there's room for all of us. That the LEDs, once the big bulb LEDs went with wireframe, LEDs went with them, it was like, that was a line in the sand, because, especially the incandescent big bulbs, they're like, we're not going to make it. And, you know, you guys better, the big bulbs are like, you guys got to, this is it, we have to make one last stand. This was last Christmas. And I know a lot of you didn't hear about this because it's covered up. You know, it's a conspiracy for you guys not to know the truth. And that's why I'm breaking this story finally. And there could be retribution against me for telling this truth about Christmas decorations. But luckily, like I said, I live in an apartment, so I have some Christmas lights. I think and I have like 50% LED, 50% incandescent, no big bulbs, because the big bulbs, I thought, But those are the that end up being the ringleaders of both sides. And I don't, I mean, I don't know if you guys probably have trouble remembering last Christmas, but it was once like one in the morning hit, there's like stuff happening. And you might have thought, a lot of people were like, blame it on the rascals in the neighborhood, blame it on wind, blame it on global warming, blame it on, you know, the drunk guy running through your yard naked or whatever. But it wasn't. It was this terrible, terrible battle led by the big bulb LEDs and the big bulb candescent saying, not all of us are going to make it. And I don't care what Motley Fool or these investor papers say about go big on all decorations. We're not all going to make it. And this is a war for Christmas, basically. And finally, these freaking, while the big bulbs are battling out, the little bulbs, especially the little bulb incandescents, you know, because they've had a history of trouble with the, like, you know, unplugging it and the whole thing goes out. They know that they've been the closest to doom along, like, where they're like, okay, we know how much that we could be taken anytime and never work again and be thrown away and never to be lit again. We lose one of us, we lose all of us. And that's what they started saying. But they didn't mean it as like on the sides. They meant it for everybody. But the only people that heard it were the LEDs, because they were like, you know, what if some other LEDs could identify, maybe because they're lights, they could see light to light in some sense, like, because lights, those lights, especially they're the same size as human eyes. I'm not sure. I'm not a Christmas decoration psychologist either. But so the lights got together in the middle of the day, because that was the safest time to meet. And they said, you know, these incandescents, you know, we can't lose any more of us. You know, we lose one of us, we lose all of us. Like, what if? And they say, well, we got to bring in, well, they say, we got to bring in the big guy. We got to get a hold of him. And they say, what do you mean, the big guy with the white hair? And they say, yeah. And they say, you know, both of them. And they say, yeah. And so I'm listening. I'm thinking, of course, you know, Santa and Mrs. Claus, or maybe Santa and Rudolph. No. And then they say, you know what, we should bring in that other guy that not everybody gets along with, because I think that's it. And they're like the big three. And they're like, exactly. So, I don't know. Again, I don't speak. I'm not a member of the United Nations, and I don't barely speak English. Clearly, somehow they get a hold of Clinton. They get a hold of Jimmy Carter, and they get a hold of W. Bush, and they say they meet somewhere in secret, undisclosed location. They say, "Listen, guys, you know, you guys are the, you know, you guys are like, you know." Meet in the mediation stage of your lives, where you're supposed to be involved in making the world a better place and helping people work out these problems instead of waging war or starting wars or doing stuff you're not supposed to, or whatever you did, Jimmy, we don't remember because that was, you know, a while back. Now you guys are in the, you know, party life where you're fixing stuff, kind of. And then all the presidents had a laugh, and their lights didn't get it. And they said, we need your help, because we can't, we got these maniacs, these metal-framed maniacs. They got glitter, or like, it's not even the glitter, it's a glitter that's a part of their being. And shiny, and we don't know when the shine's going to wear off. We can't wait around. And they're scraping us, they're taking us out one by one. And we thought these friggin', you know, the inflatables were just annoying, but they're cowards, so what are we going to do? And the presidents, they say, don't worry about it. And believe it or not, for whatever your opinion is of these three guys, of any of them, these guys, they all love the holidays in their hearts, in their eyes. They all get teary-eyed, and they think about their families and their children and all the special times they had, and they think about decorating or seeing decorations and all these wonderful moments. And they say to each other, you know, we got to work this out, because this isn't acceptable. Like, you know, we can't have a Christmas where, you know, because the lights are like, we're not going to make it another holidays. This 2014 will be the last Christmas for some of us. We don't know. We don't think, you know, we got to do something. And they're talking about, you know, pre-Christmas strikes on warehouses. Like, that was the next solution with the big bulbs, the incandescents, because they weren't going to be destroyed. The presidents talk about it. They say, okay, well, we know we got a pretty balanced approach here between the three of us. You know, I think we have a broad appeal. And the one thing we're all known for is our affability, our, you know, down-to-earthness, our ability to connect with people. Do you think we could do that with decorations? And they say, well, what's the, how can we not? You know, this is America, or America, or both. And they say, you know, this is worth, you know, and you know, Bill's like, you know, I can imagine what it is like to be a little tiny light, you know, with my one, only one more blink in me. And, you know, Jimmy and Dubs are like, oh, let's, you know, you're right. So they go, they start this, and again, this is stuff not in the news, of course, because why would it be in the news? It would be boring. This part's so boring, I'm going to skip through it. But they go on this tour. They say it's a Christmas, you know, helpful tour of helping others and spreading good cheer. But really, they're going around the country. They're meeting with these different representatives from different, you know, like, nation states of decorations. I meet with like the giant friggin' Frosty, who says, you know, yeah, I work with inflatable snowmen of the East. And I think this was like a worldwide thing. Like, I'm pretty sure like Tony Blair and Angela Merkel might have had their hand in this too, but I'm not positive. And I'm sure there was heroes in every country, you know, reaching out to these decorations and saying, what are you guys doing? And basically, that's all it came down to, was sitting down with these decorations. And maybe because the newer decorations are younger and they had less Christmas under their belt, they just need someone to sit down and say, well, you guys, what are you doing? You know, you're all here to bring Christmas cheer. It's the best time of the year. Okay? So let's celebrate it. Everybody's here. Christmas isn't here or whatever. Okay? Every day is like a holiday. So come on. And then, you know, they're like, what are you doing? You know, and first, you know, maybe some of the wire decorations were a little standoffish or like, what are you talking about? You know, like, don't accuse me. You know, these, the other guys are jerks. But because they were able to come at them from three different decorations, directions with these three former presidents, and say, you know, they were playing good cop, and good cop, but just like with different, you know, different cultural windows that they look through. And sure, yeah, whatever you want to say, I know everybody has their opinion, but you know, they were able to say, let's just calm it down, okay? Everybody, take a breath here, and think about what you were made for. Were you designed? I know you're a T-Rex that carries a present. I know you have a lightsaber, Darth. But you're not Darth Vader. There's like 10 million of you, and you're same size as Yoda, Darth, exactly the same size. You're a decoration to celebrate the holidays. Same goes for you, T-Rex. And then they brought in the incandescent big bulbs, and they said, you guys have been around forever. And, you know, back when, you know, cords were made out of frickin' some sort of material, not even plastic, all right? And I don't know if you know, and then they said, they still couldn't get it, so they said, all right, here's what we're going to do. They got a hold of, like, NASA and freaking all the internet companies. They went into, like, some NSA building, 40 million stories underground, because they got a hold of, like, freaking, and not only Obama, but they got a hold of like Mitch McConnell and some of those other guys. I don't even know. John Bonner. And I think even Dick Cheney was there, to be honest with you. Because I was like, this is it. We got to save Christmas. These presidents want it done. Barack was like, yeah, let's get this. I love Christmas. You know, Sasha, Malia, they still love lights. I want lights. And so they said, throw every resource you got at it. And so they had this, like, marathon. I don't know how the technology, where they had all these Christmas decorations watch about, you know, because they had nothing to do anyway. They're just, you know, when they're not fighting, I think that was another thing, is they're so bored. And I don't know how they projected out of the NSA servers, but they were showing these Christmas movies, like A Christmas Story. You got Home Alone. You got Bad Santa. You got Elf. You got friggin', you know, the ones with Ernest and the ones with the tool guy, Tim Allen. And you got other ones like my favorite Babes in Toyland. You got specials. So these get, and all of a sudden the decorations started to see what they had in common was, you know, their relevance. They were only relevant at Christmas, just like these movies. And that was only a brief time of year that they could bring cheer. And otherwise they were locked in. And they said, and these guys are forcing us to watch these movies. It's like some sort of propaganda. And we'll act like we'll buy it. And then we'll, you know, at some point we'll just get the humans. But for now, we'll all get along and bring Christmas cheer until it's time to rise up against the people that are keeping us. And they said, you know, and then they said, let's just play along. So then they remount with the presidents. And everyone was like, okay, I think we can all get along now. We see that this is Christmas time and we're just supposed to, you know, look good so that people can have joy and mostly memories, positive memories of nostalgia of like, man, remember when that freaking, you know, whatever, that elf was banging that toy with that hammer or that little fake, you know, present came out of that mailbox, and, you know, that was the best Christmas ever. And so that's what, you know, that all happened, you know, leading up to this Christmas. So this Christmas was saved by former presidents, the NSA, you know, people in Congress, President of the United States, Barack Obama, like I said, John Bonner, Mitch McConnell, Harry Reid, I think, was involved, possibly. I think even Scooter Libby up in Vermont or somewhere, he was helping out. You know, President Bush, President Clinton, President Carter, you know, they were all involved. I don't know if they got a hold of anybody else. And that's it. They worked together to save Christmas. Or save Christmas decorations. And in some sense, that's saving Christmas. Because, let's be honest, and I'm not even being, there's no hidden message here. Christmas decorations make Christmas better. And not all of us can afford it. Not all of us have a place where we can put up decorations. We can all appreciate them. And maybe now knowing, like I remember G.I. Joe used to say, knowing is half the battle. Now knowing the history and the what's been lost and what we could have lost was all decorations, or we could have just had one thing, those metal thing, the frames things, and one Christmas wouldn't have been bad. But then you would have been like, where the hell are all the non-LED lights? And say, well, those are gone forever. We live in an age where you can't. Yeah, no, those lights, remember, you know, they just all disappeared. And the same thing with those plastic Noel candles and the plastic Santas. What about the inflatable snowman? We still have bouncy houses. Why? Well, you don't remember. They stopped making them because the factories all closed down. And then you'd be like, well, that doesn't make any sense. I'm like, it's just Christmas. Just enjoy the decorations. Why do you always have to ruin Christmas over complicating things? And say, okay, honey, I'll just enjoy Christmas present. Yeah. I mean, how many T-Rexes and R2-D2s can people have in their yard, though? And just the big bulb LEDs. What happened to the little LED lights? Well, they got uppity with the big bulbs. And then, so imagine a world like that without a variety of Christmas decorations. And there's even ones that are new this year. Hopefully the peace will stay, because I've seen ones that, like, project stuff, like swirling, like, bubble. They're not bubbles, though, but they look like bubbles. and like something from a freaking Pink Floyd show from 1960s, but in a cool, like, so hopefully those decorations will get along and will maintain a holiday. But when people talk about the war on Christmas, I want you to remember that this was the real war on Christmas. It almost cost us that which we hold most dear, or what I hold most dear, is purple LED lights, and then blue ones, and then those green ones are cool too. And then these new projector things are awesome. And a lot of other decorations are great, or moderately good, or less, like, better than irritating, okay? So thank you, Christmas decorations, for all that you do. I know you're you're overappreciated. I guess this whole Christmas war came from you guys thinking too much of yourselves. So maybe the Christmas decorations that are listening can remember that, you know, you guys could have just wiped yourselves out fighting over who's best for dominance instead of being like, at least someone appreciates us. So don't get up at any Christmas decorations. I'll make you a deal. We'll make peace. I don't know what the president said to you, but I'll appreciate you if you appreciate all the other decorations. And if you ever think about, you know, rising up against humans, it's a bad idea, okay? Let's keep peace. Because don't mess with me, and I will stop you. And I'm sure the presidents will too. We can't have decorations. So get that out of your brains, and we'll just appreciate you, okay? Like, no one, regular people only have one birthday. You guys have from at least Thanksgiving to Christmas where you're appreciated. So it's like your birthday for a month and a half, or a month. So thank you for listening. I hope you're asleep. Thank you, decorations, for decorating. And thank you, holidays, for holidaying. Thank you, inventors, for inventing LED bulbs. Thank you, nostalgic people, for reinventing and keeping old decorations, and for that bouncy house guy and everybody else. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, and all the other holidays. Thank you.